2. I'd like to thank everybody, my board, a full board today, which is really nice, and the nice folks out in the audience. First, going to establish a quorum. Looks like we're all here. Now, I would like, for this meeting, I'd like each individual to introduce themselves, because we haven't done that in a long time. So just take a minute from my right.
My name is Taylor Newton.
Thanks, Taylor.
You're welcome.
I'm Sean Green.
Charlie Yates.
Charlie, did you forget our names?
No.
Okay. Good morning, Steve Allen.
I'd like to hear your voice.
Good morning, Chris Kosteka.
Good morning, Maggie Jurin.
We're all here. Thank you so much. Are there any board member announcements? Seeing none. Any staff announcements?
Yes, I have a few. They're up on the screen for you to review. The October wine promotion, free bottle of wine for any hotel guest staying tonight, is doing really well, and we're going to go ahead and extend it to the till Thanksgiving, not after Thanksgiving. We don't want to go through that weekend, but I do have money left in my budget, so I'm going to go ahead and extend it, which is really good news. Simple View contract is scheduled to launch May, and it's doing really well. It's on tracking on time with everything. November-December campaign that we will be running is 10 Reasons to Spend the Holidays in Morro Bay, so you'll see that being pushed out. January-February campaign is the Restaurant Passport for hotel guests. We have right now $100 worth of values in those Restaurant Passport offers. We're going to try to get a few more. SoCal Industrial Education Symposium is coming up October 24th. I would encourage all hotel owners, front desk managers, anybody that can go to it, I would recommend to go to it. And that's being held at Slow Brew Rock, which is their new event facility, so it would be really fun to see it as well. And just a quick update on the strategic plan. As you know, Carl Roboto was in market about 2 weeks ago doing a lot of intercepts with residents as well as some business owners, and he had really good feedback, and I'm expecting him to come present to TBID in the very near future, maybe November or December at the latest.
A quick question. Are we talking about Simple View later in the agenda?
Yes.
At all? Okay. All right.
And one question on that also. You're extending the October wine promotion. Will there be more certificates being handed out?
Absolutely. If any hotel runs out, call me and we'll bring them down.
Thank you, Jennifer. I'd like to open the floor up to public comment.
Good morning, board. Kevin Vesterfeld, resident of Morro Bay and cruising Morro Bay Car Show. I just wanted to extend our very good thanks for what you have allotted to the car show for its advertising. I think Chris was telling you that approximately $16,000 is spent on advertising. Over the years, we have been able to attract the vehicles, which is on an average of 540 to 550, but it's the money that's spent on the advertising to bring the people into town to see the show. And if any of you have ever been down there, you will know that the street is full and the town is doing well. We have some vehicles that come in on the Sunday prior to the event and stay all the way through until the following Monday morning. I have an annual dinner with some people that come in on town on that previous Sunday, and then you have more people come in with that. Also, I don't know whether Chris was telling you or not, but Chris Parker, our president, that out of the 550 cars, roughly only 12 to 15% are from this county. So there are people that are coming in from all over north and south, and now we have a vehicle that's coming in from my homeland of Canada, and we also are Nevada and Arizona and Oregon. So we really appreciate the fact that not only the board but the city has allotted those funds to us, and we really appreciate it. It's a labor of love. I've been doing this 22 years out of the 23 that's coming up. And we have one board member that was a founding member, and he's with us every year. And it's a great group of people to work with on the board, but it's hundreds of people, or over 100 people, that volunteer their time to help put this event on. And so I just wanted to let you know that it's very appreciative for what this board does. And thank you for your volunteering your time. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you. We love the show. It's a great thing. It's really
one more thing. You have an election coming up. it's our duty to vote, whoever you wish to. Thanks.
That's right. Thank you again. Mr. Wallace. Hello, Jamie. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. How's everyone doing? Come on, energy. I come to you from the faraway land of Los Osos, and I am the chairman of the Los Osos Tourism Board there. I'm also a lecturer with Cal Poly Experience Industry Management. I come today really for collaboration. Jennifer came to our meeting, and I thought it was good. We exchanged ideas, thoughts. Being a community so close, sharing the estuary, we should do more, and that's my feeling. We have a lot of BIDs in this county, a lot, and I've been through a lot of that. So I come with bearing gifts. This is a really popular shopping bag. I know we have so many shopping bags in our trunks. I get it. But these are making its way over to the UK, into Canada. I love Canada. I have relatives from Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, BC. These people are wonderful. They have these bags. So these things are getting legs, so they're going in your shopping bags. President of the old VCB, and Charlie as well, a past president. So there is history in this room. I won't spend too much time. One of the things that we're working on with Los Osos is we've revamped our website. We've got a new logo, a new tagline. It's called Wildly Adventurous. We use it in a variety of forms. I'll pass this around. I only have one, unfortunately. We have a new marketing agency. We've got new energy. And so we're doing a lot. And I'm today here to reach out and extend a hand of friendship and hope we can work in the future. So thank you.
Thank you, Jamie. Any other public comment? Seeing no further public comment, I'd like to move on to our consent agenda. First would be our board meeting minutes from August 16th. Has everyone had a chance to review? Are there any corrections? If I don't see any corrections or edits, I'd like to entertain a motion.
I move that we accept the minutes as is.
As written. Second.
Yeah. We've got a motion from Maggie and a second from Chris. I'd like to call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Moving on.
I abstain.
One abstention.
Abstain.
You were not there.
Yeah.
Didn't get a chance to look at them. I'd like, again, for August 18th, the TOT report year over year. The recommendation is to receive and file. Everyone have a chance to take a look at that report.
Mm-hmm. Looks good.
Any comments? Questions?
Jennifer, did you want to go over it with us, give your
sure.
thoughts?
Yeah, we can go over it really quickly. So on the sheet that's up on the screen, just to remind all of you, the graph on the top left is the STAR report. That does not accurately show our rooms. And we had been taking Morro Bay out of that because I feel it's very confusing. I know there was a request to put it back in a couple months ago. So you'll see, if you look at that STAR report, it shows occupancy 80%. But if you look down to the three boxes below that, those are our actual numbers. And the occupancy was actually 81%. So, again, I mean, it is up there. We can take it back out. I like the STAR report to show what the competitive set is doing. not necessarily to put our numbers in there. ADR did go up quite a bit to 152 a night over 149 last year, and our RevPAR is also up at 124 versus 111 last year. Jackrabbit leads were higher. We were over 5,000 leads for the month, which is good, and Highway 1 was open, which is pretty great. I mean, I've been talking with a lot of restaurant retailers, hotels as well, just kind of walking around, and everybody is just saying, I mean, the amount of people is significantly more than they've seen. So that's really good news. Yeah.
Who formulates this star report?
It's a company that puts it out, and you have to request to be on there. So, I mean, you can, if you want to put a star in on there, you can. You have to just submit your monthly numbers, and they just add you in. I think we have maybe 7 or 8 hotels in Morro Bay that actually send numbers to Star. Mainly, it's flags that do it. So with bigger communities that have more flag hotels, you see closer population to correct numbers than we see.
So it'd be safe to assume that most every city has the same as us. These aren't
overly
accurate. They give it somewhat of a representation, but not too terribly accurate.
I would think cities that have more flags, like a Pismo Beach or a San Luis, will have higher hotels reporting into Star than we do.
One thing that's really important is that, you know, one of the pushes that we've been doing continually is to get small independents to report to Star. And it's really, you know, Smith Travel Research is anonymous. It really benefits everybody who gets it. We, at the end, we report on a daily basis, and I use it on a weekly basis to take a look at what we're doing and what our competition's doing, not just locally but regionally. And we also take a look from the Visits Locale Star report to glean more information. So it's really beneficial for everyone, every hotelier, you know, to get out and report and to be part of that. So that's my pitch for Star.
Can I ask, as a non-hotelier, how exactly the Star subscription works? Does the hotel pay Star, and we also, as a TBID, pay Star to receive that information?
We don't pay anything as TBID.
Okay.
Charlie, you can talk maybe from a hotel side.
There's a small fee, but it's negligible. It really depends. There's levels that you can get, and if you want more reporting, it really is.
So perhaps this is a future agenda item, but it seems reasonable to come up with a TBID plan of attack that either incentivizes or pays outright or pays above and beyond a Star subscription so that we have useful information. Unless it's not money-related and people just are intentionally not participating.
Well, I believe that the numbers that you have below in the boxes, those are probably coming through TOT.
That's so correct. Those are 100% correct.
Correct.
Yeah.
I did have one other question. Any idea, Jen, any thoughts on, for August, it was one of the rare months where hotels jumped ahead of trailer parks and vacation rental receipts. Any thoughts? I've been tracking those to see correlation, causation, trying to figure that out. Any idea? I couldn't figure it out.
I couldn't talk about that off the top of my head. Marianne's going to present our ADARE impact, and we might be able to see if more numbers were pulled for August. She's going to be here at probably 10 o'clock to talk about that. We can ask her about that.
Cool.
Relating back to Highway 1 being open, we did remember have that small campaign that we put together for reintroducing Highway 1 being open, and that was, I think we spent $10,000 on that, so that could have been an extra push. We usually don't spend money, you know, to promote out during summer. We really try to shy away from that and keep our money tight for the shoulder season because we don't have a lot of it.
Visit California also did a huge push.
Oh, yeah.
With, I mean, an amazing reopening party that was
definitely
held at the Rock. I mean, that in itself was a
we'll
big
we'll get
push.
PR from that for a long time.
Yeah, and I also believe that, particularly being August, that, again, vacation rentals and RV parks are vacations people have planned in advance versus opening Highway 1 where people are coming through and staying a night or two. I think that would be, I looked at that too, and that would be my take on it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that?
And if you would like, we could always take this report and add what VRs and camping and trailers are doing if you want to have it on here, just so you have like just a one point to look at and see the competitive set as well on them.
I kind of related to that on this top right graph. because some of us might be printing in black and white, either have a light gray and a very dark gray different between the two years, or some other design for the bar graph.
Okay.
If you wanted to add VRs and trailer parks, then it seems like we could draw that graph a little bit more to scale, because the difference here is only $400,000, which is, you know, maybe 11 or 12%, but it looks like we tripled our take. So maybe draw that to scale and add VRs and trailer parks.
Jen, I had a question.
Yep.
The vacation rental receipts and trailer park receipts alone or added together are never more than the motel receipts.
Okay.
Never, yeah. But they are increasing.
Just be aware that it would be very hard to come up with these same numbers. Maybe an occupancy rate you could, but the ADR and RevPAR are going to be tricky on a vacation.
Honestly, I'm not going to spend that much time on it. I was just thinking put in the total amount, try to figure out. I'll just do one number. I don't want them to become my focus right now, but I would, if we want to add them in, I can figure out something to just a quick number to add them in. We could do it as a percentage. Or I don't know. I'll look at it and give you guys some ideas next month.
Any further questions or comments about the TOT report? I'm opening the floor to public comment.
Good morning. Joan Solu, a resident of Morway. It's always fun to listen to your comments about TOT. Sean, you are on spot with the graph looking like it's skewed. I would love to see that. I've mentioned that in the past, that the graph should be closer together so that we have a more accurate depiction of what's actually going on. Probably the reason why you are up so high in TOT for August, you had an additional weekend night, and that weekend night happened to fall as the first night of a three-day weekend, which was Labor Day weekend. So on weekend nights, rates are typically about 20% higher in hotels. On weekend nights that are holiday weekend nights, they're about 25% higher. I'm not saying that that would make up what would have to be, it was $35,000, I believe, up, so the rate would have had to be $352. I'm kind of rounding, averaging here. I'm not saying that that's where it came from. What I'm saying is that's where a significant portion of it came from. The ADR for that weekend, if you were to break out the weekend, is probably somewhere, you know, around $225, maybe a little higher than that, right in there somewhere. So that's a huge portion of that gain that you see. What will be interesting is hopefully, and let's go for it, have September be up another $35,000. That means you really did have a strong August and a really strong September. So what's important with TOT is to look at it the way retailers look at things. It's to look at it quarterly, because here your function is as a city entity, right? So to look at it quarterly. So for example, you might hear Walmart report their quarterly earnings and say, oh, we had a much stronger spring than we had last year, but Easter fell in March. A much stronger winter than we did last year, but Easter fell in March. The following year, they'll say, oh, our winter was down, but Easter is in April, right? So those holidays, you hear that reported even nationally, they have a huge impact, even a single day of the holiday, on what happens with our TOT. So keep that in mind. Good job. Keep plugging away. Keep moving forward. But I agree with Sean on getting that graph a little bit closer, a little bit more accurate. And don't depend on Star. Star is not accurate. Don't start paying into and buying into Star as a community. What we should do is have Jen contact the other DMOs and get a handshake and a partnership going, that the DMOs share their free and public TOT information with each other once a month. Thank you.
Thanks, Joan.
Can I follow up on what one thing that Joan mentioned on the August 31st? It's something I hadn't thought about, and I was trying to trying to gauge vacation rentals versus hotels, and that one date, and just in terms of payment, I'm not sure how it works on the hotel side on TOT if it's day by day on every income amount. But I know, like Airbnb, for example, we would report to the city as vacation rental owners upon payment received, which would be the second day of the stay, which would then push that full weekend into September. So that could account for $350,000 difference, you know, from the two.
Couple of follow-up thoughts on that is I'm very confident that we're going to find that this upcoming quarter is going to be phenomenal. From what I'm, same as Jen, talking to everybody, it's been wonderful. September, October's look great. Second thought on that is TOT, getting that information, I think, would be very difficult, I assume. Jen may say the same, because when we were looking to purchase our hotel, I tried to get TOT numbers, and I think it's easier to get Trump's taxes. I mean, it's not easy to get. So I don't know if the cities can get that from others.
Any further questions or comments? Jamie, come on up.
I got a comment on analytics here. Smith Travel Research does have detailed and can be reliable. It's a little more pertinent, too, because you can get weekly, monthly. Whereas waiting for TOT, you're lagging a month or two at the most. And so by the time you get TOT numbers, you're already looking, you know, other places. Smith Travel Research is only as good as the people that subscribe to it. And the numbers that go into it, occupancy, rate, and RevPAR, are very helpful. It's more helpful than just a number based upon your overall revenue. So I think Smith Travel Research is valuable for you. As a tourism destination, it's helpful to tell where, you know, through Visit SoCal, they subscribe to Smith Travel Research. We get an idea, Los Osos, we look at it, what regions are doing, how they're going up or down, and we can make better decisions quicker than waiting for TOT.
Yeah, like I said, I review this quite a bit, and I get a weekly report that we review as a team, and we set our comp set based on, you know, folks that are similar, and this is really good analytics. So thank you, Jamie. Any further questions or comments? Jennifer, seeing none, I think I'm going to call. I'd like to call for a motion. No motion? Then we're going to move on to staff report on the Business Improvement District Fund Accumulation Reserve Policy. Jennifer.
Good morning. You have Jen number two here today. I'm the finance director for the city, for those of you that I haven't met before. Also filling in for Scott, who's out of town, our city manager, who's out of town for the rest of the week. But came to present to you the draft and proposed accumulation reserve policy. This was heard by the council in September. On September 25th, they saw a first draft of this, along with several other reserve policies that we're putting together, and ask that we come back and bring it to the board for review and comment, and they'll be, the city council will hear it again on Tuesday at their meeting, and we'll share those, your feedback with them at that point. The city's been in a process of developing accounting policies and financial management policies for two reasons. One, it's a best practice under GFOA, which is Government Finance Officers Association. And secondly, we've had audit findings the last 2 years about lack of accounting policies and procedures. So we've started to put those together, and the reserve policies were the first kind of round at doing that. We have an existing general fund emergency reserve policy that was adopted by resolution. We have a proposed new draft one that will be heard on the 23rd as well. In May, June-ish, we adopted an enterprise reserve policy for the water and sewer funds. We're proposing to have a harbor enterprise reserve policy. And in the course of developing this, thought it made sense to have a tourism reserve policy as well. And the point of this is to have some money set aside should there be an economic downturn or some situation that maybe revenues aren't coming in as we had budgeted. there would be some funds available to continue marketing Morro Bay as a destination point. So on September 25th, there was some public comment received. We made some minor changes to the draft policy in an attempt to address those. The public comment was around the use of the money, and we made it very clear in the policy, or hope that we did, that it can only be used for tourist-related activity. This is TBID money, so we want that to be clear. Also added language in there that the use of the money we wouldn't do anything with money without coming to the board first for feedback before taking it to the council. And also recommended use of the money could be started at the staff level, board level, or council level. But again, in no circumstance would it be used without having feedback from the board first. We did not change the recommended amount. We have a minimum and a target funding level. We would set aside a new fund for this and keep it separate from your operating fund with a 20 to 25% funding level. So that would be about a quarter of the year worth of revenues you'd have or cash you'd have on hand to operate should there be some kind of downturn in the economy or some other situation that would happen. You have sufficient funds in there in your fund balance at this point to cover that target funding level of 25%. You have $270,000-ish. We're closing the year now, so that's an approximation. But about $270,000 in there. The 20% target level would be $195,000. 25% would be about $244,000. So you're well within the range that we're proposing. But again, as a best practice, thought this made sense for the Tourism Board and wanted to hear some comments and feedback from the board that we could share with the council. Will they consider adopting this?
Thank you. Has everyone had a chance to review the policy, the draft policy? Questions and comments? Public comment?
Hi, my name is Joan Solu, and I'm a resident of Morro Bay. And I agree, we all need to have a little bit in reserve in case something happens. I think that it's being conservative with what we, meaning having a larger pool of money for what we're doing, being fiscally conservative, and pulling a larger portion of money in. I'm not sure that we need to be as fiscally conservative as staff has suggested. That's a decision for you. I think I would probably do no more than, if it were me, do no more than 2 months, because you're always going to have a cash flow. Should there be an emergency, like a physical emergency here, let's say an earthquake or something, and God forbid we have a major destructive, catastrophic natural disaster, we probably won't have any hotel rooms or restaurants to market, so the reserve would just sit there. If we are fortunate to be on the outskirts of that and there's a natural disaster somewhere near us, we are going to have an influx of visitors because usually, unfortunately, the press comes in to cover that and they need places to stay. So I'm not sure that we need as large of a reserve, but I do want to see you add this language. The language that I believe should be added is direct from the city ordinance, which restricts what the reserve funds can be used for. In that, it's chapter 3.60030, authorized uses of TBID funds. The chapter is made and enacted in pursuant to the provisions of the Parking and Business Improvement Area Law of 1989, and it spells out, A, the general promotion of tourism within the district is to include costs as specified in the business plan to be adopted annually, B, the marketing of conference, group, and film businesses that benefits local tourism and the local hotel industry in the district, and C, the marketing of the district to the travel industry in order to benefit local tourism and the local hotel industry in district. Those are three simple things that are just reminders to staff in an emergency what this fund can be used for, and it's also a good reminder and refresher to the public and the TBID board when they look online, say, what's that big T-bid thing there? What is that? Why do they have all that money reserved? They can see exactly what it's reserved for in an emergency, spelled out duplicative to the ordinance. Thank you.
Thank you, Joan. Everybody needs a rainy day fund, and you know, this is something that we've talked about for quite a while. Now that staff has brought it to us, we need to give it some attention, and I'm looking to my board for any questions or comments regarding the accumulation fund. I think that Joan's points were right on. Should only be spent, and it clearly states that. So questions, comments, concerns.
One comment and then one question. First of all, I appreciate that the city is taking this on. It's long overdue. We have what Joan was mentioning, the specific uses and the general promotion and two categories of marketing. Pros and cons of that distinction right there is that if we do, like we have mentioned, a couple small installations that might be part of the T-bid process moving forward, that would potentially exclude those types of things out of the emergency fund, which is fine. It's just drawing that line, which is probably nice for protecting hotels in the event of an emergency. So I think I agree with that. Is there any language about what happens with this money if T-bid dissolves? I think that's an important, because this is a little bit more of an enterprise fund, and Harbor is not going anywhere, and T-bid likely is not going anywhere either, but just in terms of protecting the hotels with money that they've generated as voluntarily being part of an organization, I think there might need to be some language about that.
I know one point, the installations that you're talking about came out of general fund money, not out of TOT money. I do think that some precautionary language regarding, if something did happen and we did, city council decides to dissolve the T-bid, that we have some sort of protection that money. The language is in there, but we might need to fine-tune that just a little bit, and to Sean's point.
I personally would vote to err on the side of being conservative and take the city's recommendations. I don't think it's any secret that a lot of cities are having potential budgetary issues with pensions, et cetera. I believe there's been talk about the city not contributing as much as they have for certain things, possibly even as soon as next year. So for all those reasons, I would keep a larger reserve, but I would also support, adding language, which Joan suggested as well.
Any further comments? Any other questions?
So this isn't an action item, but just to make sure I have everything captured, what we'll share with the City Council for Tuesday is to add the language that was quoted out of and maybe I can get another copy of that from you regarding the promotion and marketing of tourism, and then language that's very clear about what happens if the board were to be dissolved. And those are the only two comments, I think. Okay.
I'm going to just agree with Steve, just to get it out there. Fiscally conservative, I'm all for the 20%. Joan's suggestion of 2 months is about 16 2/3%, so I think we're in the ballpark. 20% seems, and 25%.
Great, thank you very much. Thanks to the board. Joan, thank you as well. Okay, we're going to move on now to the Amgen Tour California. Jennifer, bring it on. Bicycle us in.
Good morning. We're going to talk about the possibility of bringing Amgen back May 16th, 2019. It's coming up actually pretty quick. Megan, I'll have you just go through. If you guys want to look at the slides, I've added some stuff from Amgen as well as just some quick tidbits out of the staff report for you as well. So the financial impact of hosting Amgen will be roughly between $85,000 and $95,000 to the city of Morro Bay. Visit SoCal, last time in 2017, they had $50,000 that they had put towards Morro Bay and Pismo, which I believe for us we received 32,000 of, and it's most likely that we would receive at least another 30,000 this time around, going off of what they did last time. A background on the race, so if you're not familiar with it, it's a seven-day race that's it's funded behind Visit California, just so you know. So there was Amgen used to come through the state or different states, whoever would host them, and it was a huge burden on the different cities. They would require like $250,000 or more to host it, and it just became a huge financial burden to the host cities. So Visit California stepped up and has added a large amount of funding to Amgen to keep it in California. So I think they pay them well over $1 million every year just to keep it here in California. And what that does is it allows cities like us to host it at a reasonable rate. And the exposure is very high. So, you know, it's seen in about 34 countries worldwide. I mean, the exposure is really great. So hosting and costs associated are very similar to what we did in 2017. We had to provide a specific amount of hotel rooms, food for the Amgen, some teams. We could host some teams, but not a lot, as well as their staff, as well as some media, incoming media. And then we had some additional logistics support, which I do have a breakdown of those small, they're very small numbers, but we did have some logistical costs as well, as far as like cabling and scissor lifts and things like that, but it was fairly, you know, minimum stuff. So one of the things that talking with Carl Roboto, who's doing our strategic plan, is his opinion is Amgen is definite must for us, but he feels it needs to be more than just a one-day event, and I totally agree with him. We had talked about this in 2017, and we just did not have the funding ability to do it last time, and I really think we need to use this as a springboard to really get a dynamic impact into the cycling market, which we really don't tap into like we should. I mean, being where we sit in the county, we're kind of in the middle of everything, and one of the big things that he's finding in all of his research that he's doing is that he really feels Morro Bay is kind of the REI of the county. I mean, we have all the aspects of the outdoor activity, whether it's water or hiking or biking. I mean, you can pretty much do everything here in Morro Bay, where a lot of the other surrounding cities have good aspects of those, but they don't have all of them, and we have really all of them. And so he wants to create us more of like the hub. So the REI, where you go to get all your stuff and really hub out of, and then go out to the surrounding cities to do your rides or whatever. And so one of the things that I would like to bring back to you in maybe March, if I can do it in February, I will, is kind of where I see this going after Amgen, what we can do to really kind of springboard into that cycling market. And I started having some initial meetings last week, and I just wrote down a couple things just so you kind of know where my head is. Reach out to all different aspects of biking, whether it's mountain, road, or the BMX groups, and get interactive route maps on our morrobay.org. So that might be one-way routes that show, you know, take the ride up to Cambria and then put your bike on the bus and come back. You know, really give them that thought pattern on why to use Morro Bay as your base to go out and bike in our county. Route recommendations for traveling riders, which is what I was just kind of talking about, whether they're getting on Amtrak with their bike and they can bike from SLO here into town and stay here. Look at possibly adding a permit condition that would require a bike valet in all of our major events, really showing that we are a bike-focused and bike-friendly community. I spoke with our, we have a permit committee that meets every other Tuesday, and we met on Tuesday, and I floated it to the group, and they liked the idea. Avocado Margarita does a bike valet, and it does really well. SLO Downtown does the bike valet during the farmers market, also does really well. And so there's a county group that actually manages those, so I'm going to reach out to them and kind of see how that would work.
Jen, they were here for the start that we did,
yes,
the bike valet, and they were great.
Yeah,
great.
But like we could have used one at Harbor Festival. I just think it shows really good synergy that we're about that, you know, that part of the aspect and not always being in your vehicle. What about maybe a bike share possibility like you see, and, you know, they've got them in all different, they've got them in the Bay Area where you can swipe your card, pick up a bike and ride it around town and then put it in another, you know, carrier and leave it. So that's something I want to look into. That would be more of a long-term thought process as far as financial ability to do that. And then really actively work with local groups and events to get more focused on how we can support them and either host them or host a stop here or something to just keep them actively in and around Morro Bay. So like I said, I'm going to bring it back in March at the latest. I will try to do it in February for you, but I really need to spend some time on it and get my head around it more. Taylor, you have a question?
I think it's a great idea, Jen. I think that I love the term that we're the REI of the San Luis Obispo County. I also think that Morro Bay is the gateway to Highway 1, which is an amazing place to ride your bike. I wanted to point out that we have a second internationally renowned bike ride every year here on the coast, the Best Buddies ride. The Best Buddies Foundation raises millions of dollars every year. I've been fortunate to be part of that the last 4 years, and they have three national rides a year, and they bring in massive celebrities and just huge dollars, and it's phenomenal advertising. And I think it's a little bit unfortunate that every year I don't really see a lot of Morro Bay, anything Morro Bay, when I'm up there at the Hearst Ranch and Castle, and the opportunity is just sitting there. It's not going away. And the contacts that you have in that event and then throughout the year are amazing. So we might be fortunate enough to go to do the Boston event as well this year with our organization, and it'll be really interesting to see compare the two coast-to-coast events. But, again, that is a giant publicity fest up there.
There's a couple other ones, Taylor. There's the AIDS ride, the Central Coast Classic. I mean, we're just not – we need to really – I had a really good meeting with Red, and we went through a bunch of stuff, and he gave me a really great list of contacts for me to go after and start really trying to connect with these groups and, you know, make them really part of what we're doing.
The Eroica event's also pretty incredible, that vintage bike race ride is pretty cool.
He mentioned that one as well.
Jennifer, I know we had conversations before, and you probably have with others, but can you paint the picture of the tour, how it's coming in, when it's leaving, days of the week?
Just we're going to go through that.
Oh, beautiful.
So go ahead, Megan, go ahead and go for it, and I'll give you guys some more stuff. So I pulled some just analytics from, this is Amgen, they sent this over, and they've just got some really good thing. It shows how many cyclists they had. This was 2018, miles on the road. How much time spent racing. One of the things I think is really interesting is they do equal pay for men and women, which to me goes back to kind of where we need to be as a community, so I like that aspect of it. Megan, go ahead and flip to the next. On a broadcast side, they had more than 17 hours of live broadcast on 2018, which was really strong. They're on some really good worldwide networks, as also NBC. Last time, we worked really hard to change the route coming to town. We had them come through the Back Bay and through State Park, and to me, that's solid. I mean, that is absolutely the way it needs to be because it shows the beauty of our estuary where, you know, initially they just wanted to come bomb down, you know, Morro Bay Boulevard and be in town, and we really need to show them, you know, really all of Morro Bay. So they like that idea again. The film commercial that we shot last time, we spent about $10,000 putting that together, and we can use that again. There's no reason to recut it, so we've saved money right there. Let's see, what else do we have? Here's some quick broadcast numbers. This is again for 2018, so 14.5 million viewers, you know, worldwide. I mean, 15.9 worldwide. Really, really strong numbers. And on NBC, 105,000 viewers. So that, to me, is really good numbers for us. Of course, international, we always like. That's long-term. But I think the NBC numbers are good for us to look at for getting that initial quick impact from cycling. They had the tour tracker last time. I don't know if you guys remember how that works, but you can actually track them on their phone and see how they go. And they've got some great links through the tour tracker that shows the different cities coming in and out, and we have ad space on that as well. And their website and their e-newsletter are both really good as well. They do a lot of marketing pre and post. Again, in 2017, not really have been part of a finish and not really knowing what that was kind of about. They had reached out to us and said, you know, we might want to look at having an agency do like a local push. And so we had hired an agency. I think it was between $12,000 and $14,000, and they did a local push for us to shoot out to, like, California media. And reviewing it and actually talking with Marianne from Mental Marketing, you know, she agreed with me that we really don't need to do that because Amgen does such a thorough coverage, there's no reason to have that extra expense. So that's another expense that we will not have this time, which I'm thrilled about. So right there we're at like $22,000 to $24,000 in savings from last time we hosted it. Social media, I think, is where it is for us. Obviously, really strong. 8.5 million, 8.4 million on Facebook. That's really strong. 1.4 on Instagram. Those numbers are really good for us. And when Marianne goes through the analytics from Adara later on, you'll see the number of leads coming from Facebook to bookings is astonishing. It's like our number one thing. It's really great. So here's the recommended route from their race course director, and they're coming from the north. So what Amgen is doing is they're putting together the exact same ride that Dream Drive just did with Visit California. So they will start at Laguna Seca. So again, I mean, it's just following up that same thought pattern. I mean, it's done really well, and I like that they're going to focus on Highway 1 all the way down the coast. So think about the visuals that we're going to have coming into Morro Bay. It's going to be, you know, full day of coming down from Monterey County, which I think is really strong for us. They'll go all the way to South Bay Boulevard, go through the state park, and then exactly how they did before, they'll come up Main Street, they'll turn left on Marina, and they'll scream through that corner on Embarcadero right past the Shell Shop. I don't know if any of you saw last time, but we had all this really great international coverage of all the riders coming through that corner and the Shell Shop behind it. It was really cool. It was a really great visual. And then they have to finish on a road that is a certain width, so they cannot finish out of the rock. It's not an option. And so what we did last time was we came up Harbor, and it was really nice. It gives them a really strong uphill climb, which the riders like. It shows a good competitive feed right to the finish. So that's what they want to do again, is finish right at Harbor like they did last time. Like, you guys like the race course? I'm really excited about it. I think it's really good. Oh, I guess that's all I have on that. So a couple more things I want to mention about the Amgen. So in 2017, on a hotel side, I took all the assets that Amgen gave us that I could use for a hotel, which was like their VIP passes, and they gave us piles of swag, and we used those to incentivize visits. And so we had I put out a request to all hotels that if they had a suite or a room that was higher than $199 a night, which would really be a kind of a suite style room in May, that if they had a two-night stay, that the visitor could have a VIP pass. The VIP passes are estimated at a $375 value, so it's a huge value to the guests. And last time we had 58 allotted and 38 were used. So being the first time, I think that's a really great start. And those hotels, I'm sure they'll try to capture the same people that stayed last time, plus grow those numbers. So I think that was really good. The swag, we had 350 total pieces of swag that we gave out last time. And that garnered, I have to put on my glasses, it's terrible. Three hundred fifty-seven total rooms, and the average ADR on those rooms was $97 a night. As far as Amgen's requirement to have hotels and teams stay here in town, of course, that is a financial obligation that we pick up, but then they also, so we pay Amgen, it's just basically a pass-through, and then they have to book rooms. The rooms that they booked were higher than what we paid them last time, and last time they spent a total of contracted room nights of $72,900 with about 12 different hotels in town. That's all I have for you guys. Do you have any questions for me?
Yes. So in reviewing this, I want to make sure that I don't have some preconceived ideas that are off. So this tour travels the entire state. This is just one stage, correct?
It stays in California. So it doesn't go the whole length of the state. It just depends on where they want to kind of move it around.
Because it mentions seven stages. So this, what we're just looking at, is one of the stages.
Correct.
Is that correct? Okay. So I am correct in that. So to give a little background, they do this in the county that I come from in Southern California. They come through Riverside County. So could not agree more with your local push not needed, because the populations in that area are probably 20-fold what they are here. And as for a sporting event, it's the number one thing. It's the first article on the sports page every morning. So the press coverage is amazing. It kind of swamps our area there, so I'm sure it's going to more than swamp it here with local news media and the newspapers. So that'll be wonderful. Also with that in mind is the amount of sales that they generate is nice. I don't think it dollar for dollar it necessarily makes sense. So this is coming as for a huge national, local, even international coverage of Morro Bay. And so our push, if we're going to do this, I think would be the best ways to get our name included in that and that it catches onto the consumer's mind that's following this race.
Correct.
And the last part of this is advertising-wise, is kind of golf's the, in sports realms, the holy grail of go after golf people because they have the most money to spend. That's why you see Mercedes commercials and stuff. But biking is also up there when you see those charts. It's one of the really high ones for people that spend money. And as a tourism board, we want to see that.
To watch them 2 years ago come through the state park and to see the visual of the golf course with the water in the background, over $1 million in advertisement. I mean, you really just can't buy it. You know, it's amazing.
In a similar fashion, they always talk about that, the Rose Bowl being so, because it's always 80 degrees in Southern California and everybody's freezing as Michigan's playing in that game. Or they play the golf courses in Southern California in January, February, like Torrey Pines. And the San Diego would always talk about irreplaceable, the advertising dollars of someone freezing at home and watching what's going on there. So, yeah, those type of shots are invaluable.
I asked Brooke Burnham from the county to come today to talk with you about the county's aspect on Amgen. So I'm going to have her come up and you guys can ask her questions as much as you want.
Hi. Thanks for having me. I wanted to just take a couple minutes and kind of reconfirm our commitment to having the tour of California come through SoCal. It's been on our radar since they were here in 2017, bringing them back and really pushed them this year to highlight that Highway 1 experience to support the reopening and the economic rebuilding efforts that we're all taking on here this year. Excuse me. So Visit SoCal has earmarked $50,000 in sponsorship dollars. Again, this would be split between Pismo Beach and Morro Bay as it's currently projected. We only can support this event when it comes into more than one destination within the county. That's aligned with our mission. And so, you know, according to kind of what Jen said, we haven't seen those final contracts, but once we have those, we'll be able to kind of have a better idea of how that split up, but we expect it to be very similar as it was to 2017. With that kind of then $32,000-$18,000 split between the two communities. You know, it's really important for us to highlight that it is about that marketing exposure. It's advertising 2 hours of essentially a video postcard of the county telling the whole world what, you know, giving them a glimpse of what it looks like here and the phenomenal beauty and outdoor space, both developed and undeveloped beauty along the coast here and within the county. So that is a huge portion of, it's really the reason why we invest these dollars. It's not about heads and beds for the event itself. That's a nice to have and it has some of an impact here, but we're not buying those heads and beds, we're buying the media dollars. And that's really the sponsorship, that the value in that sponsorship to us is to reach those international audiences via NBC Sports, via the online and the international carriers that cover this event. It's, you know, even at a $4 million budget, not something we could ever afford on our own. And the ROI on that $50,000 investment is huge when you think about that in that international scope. And we believe that Morro Bay presents that beautiful backdrop, and especially with this route, as Jen was describing, for that international audience to really showcase the natural beauty of the county. Any questions for me?
I had a question about kind of how deep in the process are they with planning the routes, and if it's already kind of been decided, to what extent does Morro Bay or San Luis County have leverage about these sponsorship dollars? It seems like there's maybe four cities in the county that could feasibly have a start or stop, which puts Morro Bay in a good position along with those other three. Can Amgen just basically year after year request these sponsorship dollars? Like, I'm guessing who's leading the situation between
right.
Amgen and the city and the county in terms of asking for sponsorship dollars, demanding sponsorship dollars?
I mean, these are ongoing conversations that lead up to this. It's not a foregone conclusion, nor is it them coming to us and saying, okay, are you in or are you out? And if you're out it's a long-term conversation of gauging interest and building towards that. So there's an understanding of, yes, we do you want this far in advance? Is this something you're interested in? Being able to confirm, yes, it's something that we see value in and we'd like to work with our communities to make that happen. And so it's a long-term conversation.
Okay, so it's more of a negotiation than an Olympic bid situation. I guess what I'm saying is if we say no, what happens? Or if we say $25,000, what happens?
Right. So, I mean, I think we definitely need the support to make it happen, right? And so, I think it depends. But, yeah, I think in the past, when a community hasn't been able to support the event, we've looked to other communities within the county to support the event and kind of gone back to the drawing board of how can we make this happen. Again, it has to come to two communities in the county in order for us to activate that $50,000 commitment. So we'd have to look elsewhere to make that happen and hope we could find that. But it has been challenging at times in the past. But, I think to us, the value is there, so we'll try to make that work. But, we have to roll with the punches.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So, Let me just add, I've had some experience. I love Amgen. I think it's a great event. I'm on a board for Visit Santa Cruz, and we did this in the past, and we analyzed the numbers, didn't think it was worth it. We just chose not to do it going forward. So that might help answer your question. You can do it and then choose not to do it in the future.
Yeah, I guess the...
I've been with the organization I work for. We've been fortunate to work as a contractor for this event at a number of different cities in San Luis Obispo. We participated in the Cambria the year that it was in Cambria, and the year it was in Avila, and I've been part of it through TBID here that's in Morro Bay, and I think every year Pismo does it as far as I remember. My feeling on it was that it was a lot especially for Cambria that year. It seemed like a lot of work. I thought that the coverage in Avila was amazing, just what they showed. But I feel like it's a relationship, and I feel like that once you start doing it, from my point of view, it's a relationship that benefits us, and I wouldn't let it go. I think that carrying that long-term relationship and investing in it every year that it's offered to us is really a winning – I think we win more than we lose.
This is an unusual year, too, because with the reopening of Highway 1, it does make sense to do it for sure. I mean, to me, it's kind of a no-brainer. I mean, they're going from Laguna Seca all the way down Highway 1. I mean, it absolutely hits the target that, we really want to show and get that visual presence coming from Highway 1 down into Morro Bay. I love that idea. A couple other thoughts, Taylor, because you mentioned, it is a lot to undertake. In 2017, when it came through, it was managed by the deputy city manager, and we do not have that position anymore. So just so all of you are aware, the city manager and I have talked about me overseeing the majority of Amgen, but with that in mind, I can't physically do all of it. I just can't. I mean, it's so much work. I watched Econi have to go through a lot of struggles because it's so much work. Yes.
You still don't have your replacement.
I do. She's right over there. Megan is our new marketing communications
coordinator. I missed that.
Yeah, sorry.
So you have another staff person besides Liz. And then when Econi did it, it seemed that, I mean, this is my opinion, I felt that Econi threw himself into it just over the top. And I would hope that you could be more efficient with your time than maybe he was.
One of the things that I've talked to the city manager about is bringing in a planner that focuses on specific sporting events. And we've talked with Slow Marathon and the lady that manages that. She's actually done Amgen quite a few times, and she's totally on board. And I've kind of put her financial aspect into the budget as well, because I think it would be critical. I don't think I could do it without her, to be honest. I don't think you guys would want me to. I would take too much away from hotels. So that would be the only way that I really see this working well.
Jen, if you still could paint the picture again for anybody listening of, we have their starting, they're here, but what happens here in Morro Bay? How long are they here? Paint the picture of the nights. And then I'm sure we're going to be talking numbers here also coming up, right?
Thank you, Brooke. Sure. Just to give you, it's kind of a broad picture. What will happen is they have a lady that oversees all their rooms. Her name is Elaine, and she'll come into town probably in the next 2 weeks, and she'll start meeting with all hotels and review their room situations and room counts and make decisions on if they can host teams or if they can host staff. And they have to fill 350 room nights, I believe, the night before, plus another 200 the night of. So it's quite a few room nights that they have to fill in Morro Bay according to contract. And so she has a lot of work to do on her side. So she'll do that part of it. She'll contract direct with the hotels. It went really well in 2017 because they were actually written contracts and they guaranteed the rooms. I had heard from a lot of hotels in 2014 when we had the start that rooms were booked and never used. And so I worked really tight with Elaine in 2017 to make sure they were actually contracted and fulfilled. So I think we've got that issue resolved. A lot of the rooms will be held by staff. So that'll be either a 2 or 3 night stay. A lot of them come into town 2 nights before to start putting up barricades and just logistics, running cable and different things, setting up here in town. The requirement by teams is they require in-house hot breakfast at the hotel, and obviously we're very limited on where we can do that. So I think last 2017, we were able to host 4 teams, and I would expect the same this year and the balance of the rooms to be staff.
Explain again the importance of us being a finish line as opposed to a start.
Start, they don't really stay overnight. They basically just come in and leave. We don't see any impact on our restaurants or retails at all. I mean, they're here for half hour to an hour.
I wanted to add to your question. Both the events that I've worked with, the Avila and the Cambria, were both finishes. And the amount of coverage of the event, because it's a finish, is not even comparable to the start. It's just, I think your ROI for a finish line is drastically a better return, because they have a whole party that's this giant production with just a ridiculous amount of sponsors. And I mean, it's like, it's the finish line is an event in itself besides the bicycle race. So when the news cameras are filming the bike ride, they also are able to talk about what's happening at the finish line. You have all those people going there. So you're seeing people. Not only are you getting your marketing dollars for the bike ride, but you're also having the finish line, and then you're having people come to the event. So I just think that the finish line is, we're so lucky to have it. And that's the way I look at it, as losing that is just, would be such a silly thing.
On that finish line topic, Taylor, there are several sponsorship opportunities that we have that we can sell. There's booth spaces. I think we have 10 booth spaces that we can sell. There's different areas that we can have logos up if we want to have anybody we want to pick up sponsoring. So the planner would also be responsible for filling that as well. And I don't know, but I don't think that was done in 2017 that I know of. So it's not huge money, but it will offset. We've got space on their lead cars that we could sell out. You know, there's all different things that we could look at selling if we wanted to.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out that I have never worked the Morro Bay Amgen, mostly because Morro Bay can't afford me.
Chris, my experience is they come in and they leave very quickly, so I don't think we're going to quantify the heads and beds for what it costs. Having said that, how do you quantify the exposure? And I think with Jen's ideas, I would support that, you know, based on just the overall marketing that Morro Bay would benefit from.
And my question goes to the budgetary thing. So you're asking us to pull this money out of the reserves. And to me, I don't have a big issue with that, but I do question that if, and I realize timing-wise it didn't work, but to me this is just another event sponsorship in some ways. You know, we went through the whole process of the event sponsorship, and in the future I don't know if that's an opportunity. I guess, again, it goes to timing, but, and this would have been a huge chunk out of our event budget, I realize, but just asking the question, is there, this is our only option for funding it, there's no slush funds anywhere else you have in your desk or something?
No, but we're all like, whoa. I think it's really important that we don't break from our budget, Maggie. We have our money very specifically allocated to advertise hotel rooms seasonally. We don't want to spend that type of money out of our budget. So for me, if it's not pre-planned into our budget, which it wasn't, it has to come out of the accumulation fund. That accumulation fund that sits right now is money that has not spent at the end of the year. You know, there's always like a gap on, you know, what we have budgeted, and then when we close, what's left, and it sits in that account. So there's no reason not to spend it. It was budgeted for TBID. It is TBID money. It's budgeted for advertising TBID stuff. So let's use it, definitely.
So therefore, how sustainable is this event? If we're saying, if we all decide that this is a route to go and we would like to do this long term, I don't see it as being sustainable through our accumulation fund.
We could make a point if we wanted to as a board to plan for it every other year or every third year. We can make that decision, you know, next year when we're looking at budget. But we do have over $270,000 in our accumulation fund right now, so we have money for it and for other things if we decide we want to do something else as well.
I think it'd be a great idea really to evaluate a month or two after the event to see, you know, the fiscal impacts, right?
And it's also very difficult 1 or 2 months after the event because we're planting seeds to millions of people across the world. That I have guests that just came on motorcycles that saw the event, that saw it in Cambria. They actually, as a group of Germans, saw it in Cambria. So it really is planting seeds for the future. Really, the economic impact, we're not going to see it immediately. I've been blessed by being here from the start in San Luis Obispo when we did, and you were so right. I was the chair of the Cambria event where we had the marching band down the street. So there's a lot of great for both, but, man, I'm telling you, the finish is the way to go. And I worked with Jennifer Kenny Root, and I worked in the VIP tent last year, and to be able to be there and see the people and to be able to see what Iconi did. The other thing that might be interesting would be to look at the video that Iconi actually produced, because he did. He went above and beyond. But that would give you guys a real show of what we, the party that we threw for the world here. It was really incredible. So I'm going to ask for a recommendation, a motion to after any other questions or comments, concerns.
Yeah, I just want to say first it's I really support the event in general. It's a little bit tough to stomach to identify a minimum amount of reserves and then immediately spend the entire amount to that minimum, which is, you know, we're trying to follow the lead of what the city is trying to do, and they're saying, all right, you need to be a little bit conservative here, and then we're immediately at the first opportunity asking, you know, trying to spend $50,000. It seems like maybe an opportunity moving forward to, instead of pulling from a reserve fund, to create a reserve fund of sorts open for a surprise event opportunity that comes out of our operating budget, because this is a very operating budget kind of event. That said, we do have some money, and out of all possible years to do this event, this would be the year to do it because of Highway 1, I don't think long-term we are an every-year Amgen city. We are an every-third-year Amgen city. And the benefit from that last 3 years, it's not a next month or next year kind of thing. So, I reluctantly support this pretty cool event.
I think before we can talk about voting on it, I'd like to see go through the budget on it. You have a budget write-up, correct? On that, didn't we see? I thought I'd seen that before. And item two, we probably need public comment.
We don't have a budget written up for it, Chris. So we have a range that we are recommending or asking you to recommend to council between 55 and 65 to come out of the accumulation fund.
I'd like to open the floor to public comment.
Good morning still, Joan Solu. I'd like to speak to you regarding this event. I think that the finish is absolutely the way to go. We've hosted it twice in the past, one finish and one start, and by far the start was much better than the finish. Neither, though, were organized by the finish was had better impact than the start. Neither was organized by the tourism entity of the city. Both were organized by previous deputy city managers. So I wanted to give you that because I think tourism gets tourism, and I think that that'll have a greater impact. Regarding the fund that you're going to take it out of, it is my understanding that you have two funds that we're talking about. Jen Little is talking about an accounting... Jen Calloway, I'm sorry, is to Jen, start, finish. Jen Calloway Finance is talking about a financial reserve account. When Jen Little speaks, she's talking about an accumulation fund, taking the money out of an accumulation fund, which is separate. That accumulation of $240,000 or $50,000 or $80,000, if we can get the exact amount, that literally came because there was a spending freeze put on the T-bid money by the former city manager, Mr. Buckingham, during the process of turning the tourism entity back into, or turning it into, for the first time, a city-run entity. From the day that the city council made their decision, the next day he called and said, "You can't do any future advertising for this year, you can't enter into any accounts, and you can't sign any contracts." So that money accumulated. That's where that accumulation fund, that's why that accumulation fund is so large. It's not $200,000 of extra money that we produced last year. It's because there was a freeze done. So I don't want you to think that if you spend $65,000 on this, you're going to have $65,000 of extra money automatically flow to that account. It's pretty highly unlikely, right? Because your budget is so tight, the way you're controlling your budget for the T-bid. However, I do support this. I think that you should do the finish. I would love, I know this logistically is really done because of the way bicycles maneuver, but in terms of beauty and coverage and really photographic elements of Morro Bay, it would be terrific to have it end on Morro Bay Boulevard because of the red gum eucalyptus and the heritage palm trees that are along there, and you can still see the rock. If not, I suggest that we ask city staff to set some money aside so that we can work with community foundations or community organizations to beautify Harbor Boulevard, because if we're going to spend this money, when you drive out of here, drive up Harbor and look at that and think about the international press coverage. And then think about the beautification of that street.
Thanks so much, Joe.
So that was a clarification for me. I didn't realize that. I was interpreting accumulation funds as being the same as reserve funds. But no. Okay. Good. Thanks.
I can't help but chime in on this as well. Jamie Wallace again. Like Charlie, I've had past experience as a hotelier and as a BID member for both Pismo Beach and San Luis Obispo City. And Amgen is an interesting beast. It's not sustainable. they choose where they go. They could direct the path next year all the way to King City and around. They determine. Now, if we put on a good show and we look good and we're organized, they'll come back. So that's an important thing to realize. The other thing to realize is this is a once in a blue moon to get this opportunity. So it's a valuable marketing experience. Now, does it justify the amount of money? It's tough. That's the way marketing is. You just hope that, and with your legs, your marketing efforts, to set the demographics of Morro Bay being a place where bikes are friendly and the nature, if you promote that, they will come back because that seed, like Charlie was saying, has been planted. So as a hotelier, I kind of look at it and go, the rate is really horrible. I'm not getting any extra rooms because of it on that particular day. Am I any better than I was without it? Maybe not. The spinoff for retail restaurants, yeah, that's not bad, but it's limited. So as an economic hit right away, it's not. It's something that you develop and grow. So that's been my experience. I mean, Amgen's been coming through this county for over 10 years now. And each city has its own experience with it. Some don't want to do it again just because it's too expensive. It's not worth it. The logistics are really tough. Avila Beach, that was one to look at because that's a one-way in and out town. And they had concerns, but in the long run, it worked out for them. So there are challenges here. So just coming from voice of experience, I urge you all to go for it. Find the money, do it, and then take it and develop it. Just don't let it go, okay, we did it, and that's it. Use your marketing people. Make it happen. Get the legs on it. Keep pushing it. And use Visit SoCal, use California, because that's what it's all about. Thanks.
Thank you, Jamie. I know this is a collaborative event. We could not do it without Visit SoCal. So thank you, and thank you, Brick. Thank you, Jamie. Any further public comment?
Can I just clarify a little bit? So with respect to the accumulation fund, currently the TBED has one fund. There isn't a separate accumulation fund. It's sitting in your regular operating fund as fund balance. So we're proposing to create a new accumulation fund. The reserve policy speaks to how much money you're saying is untouchable, if you will, unless there's action by the board and the council. So there aren't three different funds. The $65,000 would be out of the accumulation fund but would not dip into or below that minimum target funding level for the reserve. That helps.
Jen, you had $55,000 to $65,000. There's no chance it's going to go over $65,000 to get them, is there?
No, there's not. Actually, Scott Collins is working on the contract. And he put a request out to Amgen that to not exceed $57,000, and so we don't have a confirmation on that, but that's where we're comfortable with. So I think if you give us a range, it would be helpful.
So if we took in that verbiage that's in the city that you had mentioned before, Jen, that you're going to see about, would this fall within that? Could this be marketed as a marketing endeavor? This would be a marketing endeavor, so therefore it would fit within there, correct? I'm just saying for the future when we do this again in 2 or 3 years.
The marketing conference groups, film business benefit local tourism and the local hotel industry in the district, so yes.
So that's pretty generic.
General promotion within tourist, yeah.
Any more comment? Any more questions? Any more concerns? And if not, I'm going to entertain a motion.
I'll propose a motion to fund Amgen in Morro Bay as a finish line for $55,000 to $65,000.
You want to make a recommendation to council?
Yes.
Okay.
And I'll second that.
All right. Calling for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Did you have something else, Sean? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think we can add more. This is a recommendation to council. I think we need a little bit more detail to them and ask for some help from public.
You can put in a second. No, you can put in a second motion, okay. But you need to do a second motion. You can't just talk because it already got seconded. Yeah.
You're only waiting on one vote.
Oh.
I didn't vote yet either. I think we can clarify the language unless you want to do another motion.
Sorry, I can't help myself. Maybe you can, if you want to clarify the motion, take a vote. If it doesn't pass, then do a new motion with more clarifying language or withdraw the motion.
I'm going to withdraw the motion.
It has to be done by Taylor.
The second has to agree.
I'll second.
Second has to agree. Maggie?
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, back to the drawing board. Sean.
Sorry,
we cut you off.
Oh, I agree.
We need to ask some things for the city on this. We need to make sure that's absolutely a finish, which seems like it's already the case. We need to make sure it's a finish. We need to make sure that the city is meeting us halfway, whether it's public works or planning and beautifying. This is a recommendation to the council, right? So public works or whoever needs to chip in with beautification of Harbor Boulevard for that at least that weekend. These seem like useful details to include. I also think that if we have $55,000 to $65,000, where in our budget do things like 20-30-foot morrobay.org signage come into play, just because I think that's an important part of advertising. But I guess what I'm saying is that we need to ask the city, other city departments, to beautify Harbor Boulevard, to Joan's comment, so that it's not just TBID doing everything.
So my motion clarified that it was a finish line, so that one's taken care of. I could add to my motion that the city needs to participate to the best of their extent to beautify Harbor Street. What do we call it? Harbor Boulevard? Because right now it is not on par with Morro Bay Boulevard, and the design of Morro Bay Boulevard, because it ends in Centennial Park, isn't a constant upgrade, uphill. You know, they'd have to go around the corner. That would be turn right, turn left, turn right, instead of going straight up the hills, which is what they want. Obviously, if it was a street through Centennial Park, that would be where we have it at already. So that's why it's Harbor. Can I add that to my motion then, the same motion, just add that we'd like the city to, we would recommend
it's
that...
It's a new motion because they withdrew it.
Can Liz use my same words, and all I'm changing is that we recommend that the city spend a significant... I mean, I know how Park and Rec, or I don't know, what do we even call it anymore, recreation? The recreation department does the best they can with requests. Can they do the best they can to make Harbor Street on par with what we need it to be for the film cameras?
I don't think I'd be specific on a department, Taylor, because you've got maintenance in there, you've got public works.
So can I have council?
City staff, maybe be broader about it. Just say
city staff do the best of their ability to make Harbor Street look better for the cameras? Because right now it doesn't.
So Scott Collins has a proposal out for $57,000. Do we want to put a not to exceed number?
I had my statement. I had a 55 to 65 was what I had.
Not to exceed 65,000.
Yeah.
Liz, would you be so kind and reread that motion for us?
I'll try real hard.
Okay. The motion is to host the 2019 Amgen Tour of California Highway 1 stage finish in Morro Bay and approve the use of between $55,000 and $65,000 in TBID accumulation funds to support the associated hosting costs, and to ask city staff to the best of their ability to beautify Harbor Boulevard.
That's perfect.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Any further comment, questions? Seeing none, I'd like to call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Seeing none, I'd like to take about a 5-minute break.
No, we still have the marketing up. Hopefully that's fast. I have to be on the earth. Give it to me. Yeah, paper. Yeah. I did. On the second one. Yeah. No, you did. I thought you did an amazing job.
Thank you.
Yeah, when I was on Fizz on the Beach, we set up like a section of it. I like it because
on TV, it was like, whoa.
I mean, so that was kind
of a cool thing.
I was on the camera really going over. They really put on a good show. So I
was like, expressions behind everything.
All right, everybody, we're going to be starting this meeting back up. I want to thank everybody for allowing us to take a brief break. And we are back at 10:34. And Jennifer, we're going to move on to the Simple View website update.
Hold on 1 second. Megan lost her computer. So we're going to, I'm going to show you kind of where we stand with Simple View, and we're going to walk through. So we're tracking right on time, just so you know, and Sean and Maggie have been meeting with me, subcommittee, to review as we go, and I just wanted to bring all of you up to date so you can kind of see how it's looking. That's fine, Megan, if you want to just show the responsive. So what Simple View does is first they went through and they did an audit of our current site, and they looked at where people track from and who they track and all those good things, and I gave you guys some copies in your actual packet that's got different KPIs, and some of the things that I just wanted to talk about really briefly is the audience. If you go back into the back where it talks about the audience, they've used Google Analytics mainly to look at this stuff, and it's heavy female, which we kind of expected. And where they're coming from on keywords is mainly Morro Bay, California. And then the next thing would be Morro Bay events. And after that, it's Hearst Castle. And it drops off really, you know, slow from there. The number one audience as far as coming to MorroBay.org is coming from Facebook, which is really interesting. So that just is a really good thing for all of us to know and recognize. I mean, we've worked really hard on growing our Facebook account. I think we're almost up to 60,000 now, which is really great. So with that in mind, they started building the site. So Megan, go up to the top, and I'll kind of talk about this. So this is what they call a wireframe. It's kind of like a blueprint that you see before your house is built. And it just shows you very roughly how things are going to lay out on the site. And this is in a responsive mode. Most people are using phones now versus laptops or home computers. And so I'm just going to show it to you on how it looks on your phone. So at the top, it'll have our logo. It'll have the slider that shows we can put in different events. We'll do that internally at our office. And then in the background, I'll have one of the really great photos that we've purchased from Dana. And then you can scroll down and you'll see things to do. And it'll go through hotels or restaurants or retails, however we want to set that up. And then there's those different things. And then below that is another booking. There's a booking widget at the top also. I forgot to mention that. On the top corner, those lines, it'll say book now. That's one of the updates that I changed with them. And then as you go through, it'll have more options to book. So there's another booking link after the different things to do. And then it goes to events. And it'll scroll through the events. Again, one of the changes that I asked them to do on the events section is to do a calendar option because people book out, so they want to look at April. They can pull up April, where right now they just have kind of events that are close to that date or upcoming events, and I want to have it broader so that we can capture more people. And then below events, we've got the blog that'll automatically filter in and the different articles. And then this section is, it automatically will capture photos from Instagram, which I really like, that are Morro Bay related, and it'll constantly be updating and curating photos. And we have the option to take photos off if we have any issue photos come up. And then at the very bottom, we have the e-newsletter and the visitor guide. So that's kind of how it looks on a responsive mode. And I approved the blue line or the wireframe. And from there, they went and they started putting together what they call a style guide. And the style guide shows the colors that they want to use or they are proposing to use. It shows how the photos are going to look. It shows the fonts. So go up to the very top, Megan. You're going to have to let it load for a second. So this is how it'll look. It won't load this slow, but this is just on the build right now. They're going to use Gill Sans, which is part of our current family, and then the kind of freestyle font that you see there at the top that says Morro Bay is a new font that they're recommending, and I really like it. I think it's really nice and just it's very loose. So when you look at this style guide, it doesn't have the things at the top that we need, like the book now and the different links. It will have it based on the wireframe. This is strictly for the creative feel as far as photos, content, and the different aspects. So that's one of Dana's photos at the top. One of the things we've been talking about is with Bay being in our name, I think we're always pigeonholed to the Bay idea, and we have amazing beaches. And so I'm really trying to encourage them to use beaches primarily to try to get us more in tune with Avila or Pismo or even Cayucas, who's known for beaches. It seems to be a lacking point of knowledge for people visiting Morro Bay, which is kind of a bummer. You guys agree? You like the look so far? Mm-hmm. It's pretty, isn't it?
I like the look, Jim, but that took a long time to load. Is that?
It's not an actual website. That's why. Yeah, it's just an art file. So the actual site will not be long to load at all. It's still loading. It's still thinking about it. Scroll down and let's see if it loaded the next section or not. So there's the color bars on the right show the larger bars are the logo colors that we currently have, and they're recommending to do kind of an array of colors that match with those so we can have an expansive color selection, which I like. And then below that, they're going to use all of the photos that we've done this really great purchase with Dana Coy on. And then they want to do these different silhouettes. I've instructed them that that's way too big to me. It needs to be more, not so intrusive, but just kind of a background. But they like the idea of doing silhouettes, whether it's birds or boats or surfers or different things, to just kind of add more texture. And then they're adding all these different, like, rough edge elements, like the distressed edges, the halftone textures in the background, so it'll have more of an interest, which I think is really fun. Below that, they show the things to do section. And I think this is really interesting. We talked about it a lot, and how do we want it to read. And so up top, you've got three major aspects, beaches, restaurants, and activities. And then that circle in the middle, we end up putting treasures on there, which I'd really like to hear what you guys think about it. We went back and forth, Sean and Megan. I talked about this a lot. I also reached out to some other hoteliers and got their opinions. The idea of beach, bay, and harbor, should those three things be separate? And it's kind of implied, again, with having bay in our name, so I decided to just use beaches on that button on the left. I think the photos need to be changed is my first thought I want to mention to you. I think they need to be more interactive. So it's somebody dining, or it's more of like you're in the middle of the surf and it's, you know, coming over you on your board, or something that really feels interactive. The activity one is okay where it is now.
Yeah, I like that one.
But I wouldn't mind seeing like a mountain biking shot on there, because everybody does know we have the bay and the beach. So maybe we need to, again, with talking about biking, maybe that should be a mountain biking shot coming down a road. Mm-hmm. So that's just an idea. And then originally, Simple View on the Rock, it said Morro Rock, and they were just going to link it to Morro Rock. I think it needs to be more about like, what is secret about Morro Bay? What do tourists want to know that locals know? And when I've been out at all the travel trades, they keep talking about the idea that people coming internationally want authentic California. Mm-hmm. They don't want the big, you know, LAs anymore. They want what's authentic. And we are that. I mean, I think Morro Bay truly is the authentic style of California beach town. And so I'm not sure treasures is the right word. I'm hoping you guys can help me figure it out. But I want that to be like, you know, what's our secret stuff?
I know we talked about secrets there or something like that. I actually like treasures.
Do you?
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
The water, too, kind of.
I would be careful, though. I'm an avid mountain biker, and I love it. But don't go with the water's a draw. So I would not sacrifice views of water to put biking pictures myself.
Okay.
I think you could sacrifice the top left Morro Rock image if you already have it in the treasures or secrets section that you could put the surfer in the top left.
I agree.
But I love the thing you have under hotels, the beach town hotels.
Right. Before, we went through a lot of different iterations on them. What should it say? Should it just say be a booking link right there? And we came back with the idea of beach towns because, we don't talk about beach. We really need to key into that aspect. And we looked at Laguna's site and Santa Cruz. And I really didn't look at county sites. I was trying to look outside of who we already know and try to see what other people are doing. And the idea of beach hotels or beach town, I think, is a really nice ring to it, and it's different. And then again, there's another book your stay. There's another link to the booking link. So they're all throughout the site as you go down.
I like your idea of interactive. I agree, but also I don't know what these oysters are that we have out of Morro Bay, but they're amazing. I'm not an oyster eater, but
yeah.
Or out at Dockside the other day, and they're like 6 inches long. So I don't know if those are special. Then you kind of have to zoom in to get that view, or maybe everybody's serving those now.
I know.
Oyster eaters probably know better than I, but I'd never seen anything like them.
The small ones taste better.
Yeah. Any other questions, comments, thoughts? I think go down a little.
I do have one question, Jen, maybe because you kind of zoom by, but have we done any type of studies on how many days out, meaning if you're going to promote Amgen, are we going to start that marketing campaign 30 days out, 60, 90? As a hotelier, I think further out the better. It creates that, the pictures, it creates the thought, and at us to get our base, to get our occupancy up well in advance so we can maintain our rates. Seems like a lot of times I'm seeing, not necessarily from your site, but sites in general, oh boy, they're pushing 4th of July in June, and then you call and there's not a room in town.
Yeah.
So why spend the money?
So I'm going to let Marianne go through that because she has all the analytics, but her and I have seen it's very clear on when people book, look to book window. So you'll see that in a few minutes.
I had a little side thing on the oyster thing. Recently, I've been following the Grassy Bar Oyster Farms Instagram page, and they've just been doing a great job with their social media. Because I've always followed Neil's stuff, but Grassy Bar has really stepped up their social media, and you're getting both the bay element and the oyster element, and then this whole family farming element, which I think I hadn't thought about before, but that's such a rich part of our fisherman heritage here in Morro Bay. It's something that is really part of our history, and I think that we sometimes have lost that. And I love that about their social media, and you see it over and over again. They had this great shot the other day of baby oysters with one of their grandkids' hands in them, and it was just, I mean, it just nailed what Morro Bay is for me.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Taylor. I'm loving what they're doing right now.
I had a couple of comments and a question. First of all, this doesn't even do justice to what's already there. It really does look great, and it certainly won't have loading issues and things like that from the mainframe that we've seen so far. I wanted to basically praise Jen and the whole staff for securing this great photographer at a really reasonable rate. Her work is amazing and it has a really signature feel. It's a little bit different than what Simple Views. If you've gone to other Simple View pages, they kind of they're so professional, but they do kind of blend together a little bit. So we need to make sure that we maintain our local and signature feel in a way that doesn't feel like a template tourism website. Also, praise for the Facebook page and site visits in general. Even this year, this hasn't been launched, but we've upticked over the last 6 years, but specifically 66% increase
from January 18 to August 2018 in site views, probably mostly the result of Facebook campaigns, it seems.
Yep.
Another key takeaway, and Jen did mention it, but we need to stress, really keep in mind that the searches are 60-40 women over men, which is different than the 55-45 breakdown pretty much everywhere else. Two quick questions I did have. One, we have one page that shows searches by state, and it's all California pretty much. We do spend a decent amount of time in these meetings talking about other states and other countries, but it still seems like almost all of our searches are in the California region. So I guess all I'm asking is, do we have any international analytics? And if not, if those are easy to get, then it'd be awesome to see. If they're not, don't worry about it.
We would have them through SoCal and Visit California.
Okay.
So I can get those for you. This was strictly from our site, but we can get those.
And the other one, and maybe Mental can talk about this. I'm not sure how much Mental talks to SimpleView and talks to Steve. That we have a lot of different entities working together, kind of on various campaigns. A big reason why people selected Mental to moving forward was their pitch regarding reason 247, why we're staying in Morro Bay. And I haven't seen that on any marketing materials since.
So we're getting sidetracked though. Let's stay on SimpleView and finish this.
Well. Oh, yeah. Fair enough. It's related, but okay.
No, I want to finish this, and then Marianne will speak about her thing, okay? So this is strictly, I want you guys to look at the design and make sure you're blessed. I mean, I've already blessed it, but I hope you guys like it. And then I just want to show you the last section at the bottom is the events, and this is where I want them to add at the bottom a little just, December, January, February, so you can click on another month if you want to see events farther out. But I like the way it looks. I think it looks really nice, and that's the bottom of the site. Just has a, yeah. Scroll back up to the top so they can just see the very top one more time, Megan. So there's how it looks. It's got like a rough, broken edge at the top, and again, one of her beautiful shots. So we're going to keep moving forward on. They're on track for May launch, and we'll, our next step is to actually see the actual site put together. So good? Everybody good? Liking it? Okay. That's all I had. I just wanted to give you guys an update on it.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Do we need to make a motion or anything to receive and file?
Not at all.
Thank you so much. That's really, really exciting times. And is that it for the website?
That is.
Any other comments or questions from the team here? If not, I'm going to invite Mary Ann to.
I had real quick. I think the calendar is really important for events. I plan my trips a year out. Up at the top, the white words are lost in that picture. I have no idea what those first word is right there.
It just says the typography. It's just showing you the fonts.
Sure, I just wanted to point out the color.
Totally agree.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you. This has the light on it, right?
Good morning. I'm Mary Ann Stansfield. Thank you for having me. Jen invited me today to talk about and give you guys an update on ADAR Impact. We've had it tracking both the website and our media for about 3 months. We didn't start July 1, but it took us a week to get it up and running. So I'm going to talk about what we've aggregated over the first quarter of the fiscal year, so July, August, and September. And let's see here. Is this battery working? Maybe you can help me out there. I don't know. Is this the right one? No. Oh. I had it right set up. Go ahead. Anyway, if you don't mind, Megan, that would be great. Thank you so much. So first of all, I just want to share with you guys that there's two segments that we track through ADAR. One is the site. We'd have impact tracking of the website, and then we have impact tracking of our media and the media buys, the digital buys. So first of all, I want to kind of show some results of the site impact. And what we know from ADARA is that what they track is about 65.7% of our traffic through their networks of people. If you could, and so this is what the dashboard looks like for the website. And what you can see there just on the graph is basically those are site visits. So as July turns into August, you can really see it pick up. I think that's for a couple of reasons. Obviously, Highway 1 opened at the end of July, and that, you know, August is that last month of summer. Everybody's, you know, rushing to get their vacation booked. And so it really kind of peaks up in August, and then it drops off a little bit in September. And that's a dashboard, and I'm going to kind of, there's a lot of information on there. I'm going to kind of, you know, kind of slice it up for you. So if you could. So this information is actually in the monthly report. This is under owned media, under the site impact numbers. So you guys see the searches. You can see how many people, that search for Morro Bay hotels from our site is really great numbers. Also, this number of flights searched to SBP that's 300 flights a month that they're searching for at SBP that we know people that have been at our site. And it would be actually higher, just understanding that we're only tracking 67%, right? Bookings, this also is in your monthly report. 91 rooms booked. The projected number of rooms booked is times 5, as we only track 20% of the inventory. So the projected number of bookings would be 455, the flights 35, 50% of inventory is showcased there. So projected booked flights are 70 from people that have been on the website, right? Go ahead. So findings from that data is that average length of stay from people that are booking through our website is 1.5 days, which we've known, you know, for a long time. And that's very common, actually. A lot of people, that's what one of our main goals is, to grow that number. But now we actually have a benchmark. You know, obviously, we're looking forward to having a whole year's worth of data. Right now, this is just 3 months. But it is during the summer. And so, you know, that's probably a pretty... you know, that's a good starting point, you know. And again, this is site track data. Average daily rate from site track data is $158.32. And then the revenue generated, the hard revenue tracked, is $14,434. Projected times 5, $71,170. So we're tracking, like I mentioned, we're only tracking 20% of inventory. So to project it out, we multiply it times 5, and so we can project that. Most likely in Q1, the number of actual bookings from people from the site were created $71,000 in revenue. Okay? We all good?
But that's still only two-thirds, or that's the...
Right. It's okay. 67%, yes.
Okay.
Right.
But Marianne, so in the 20% that you are tracking, you've tried to do it, how is that 20% identified? Are you doing some...
Right.
Some low-cost hotels, medium, high, or?
It is the partners through ADARA, so it would be more of the flags. So like Best Western, so it would be the bigger media partners, but we know that it's tracking
20% of our rooms, and so, you know, I understand your question.
Can you fairly say that truly you can multiply that times five? That's my question. Is it a cross sampling, or if you act?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an estimate, and so I don't know that we could actually come up with the proper algorithm or the actual. So we do know that, if you want to go back one, we do know that $14,000 was actual revenue, and so that is just a projection, and it's going to be flawed. But so that, you know, take it with, you know, that knowledge. I mean, I'm happy to put, like, asterisks and so forth, but, I mean, that's our best calculation. So, okay, cool. Let's go to the next one. And visitor profile, some of this is, I mean, I checked this with, you know, cross-reference with Google, and very, very similar. About 71% of our people going to the website are between 35 and 64. Millennials, the 25 to 34, 16% is still healthy. 65 plus is 11%. The household income distribution, this is something new that we don't get from Google, which is great. Noting that the two largest pockets are between 50K and 100 and 100 and 150. So, you know, that was something that we did identify. Jennifer and I did reverse profile search of the database, the current database. It was about a year and a half ago. And we did identify that there is a lower income element. And I think it's something, you know, that it's an audience that we don't want to not go after, but we have identified that, you know, in the upper income brackets, you know, there's a lot of room for growth. And so that was part of our strategy about a year and a half ago when we started going after LA harder, spending more money down there in higher income zip codes. But again, that
lower income captures the people that are going to the Adara tract hotels. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So, okay, that seems pretty indicative, probably.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, the answer is yes. Okay, I just want to make sure I was processing that properly. Okay, let's go to the next one here. So markets, so these are markets of origin where people are booking hotels from. On the left-hand side there, LA is our biggest market, almost more than twice the amount from San Francisco at 26%. Alternate locations that were searched, San Luis Obispo, number one, and Monterey, number two, on not only alternate search, but alternate booked. And Monterey, I'm not surprised that slow. I guess I was a little surprised at. But that's really great information for us to fully, you know, understand and kind of analyze a little bit further on how we're being competitive. Pismo, you can see on the alternate search there within the county, and Oro Grande, Santa Maria on the alternate booked. You know, I don't know if that's just a function of pricing or, you know, of amenities, but it's really great information for us to have, and because we've only really just guessed in the past, quite frankly. Go ahead to the next. And these are markets regarding flights, and these are flights to SBP that were booked by people who had been to our site. So flight origin is Phoenix, 15%, quite a bit more than Denver. But you can see we have some, you know, nationwide domestic interest in bookings, obviously. Alternate searched was Austin, Tampa. This is really great information, too. Very, you know, very interesting to see where people are looking other than coming here. And then alternate booked, San Francisco, L.A., this column is interesting. It makes me think, you know, they're not necessarily booking into SBP because the cost might be prohibitive, or, you know, they're having a longer, you know, a long 10-day or what have you. They're going north to south, south to north, which we see a lot. We've got a lot of data that supports that from Visit California. So they're flying into San Francisco just a little bit more percentage-wise than L.A., but that wasn't surprising, really. Go ahead to the next one. So site impact ROI, basically the Adara impact spend for July, August, and September was $5,114 for us to track this information. and the revenue generated that we were able to track by having Adar Impact as one of our programs shows that we generated $14,343, and just calculating that out, that's a 282% ROI.
That's a 20% though, correct? That 14,000. More realistically, you were saying that you probably generated 70,000.
Indeed. So I went with the hard numbers because we have the actual numbers that we spend, the actual numbers that were booked. So yes, it would be even that much more if we were using the projected number.
Again, if we took that further and took our TBID portions that come from that generation, then we're not quite covering ourselves. But
Say that again.
That's all right. I'm doing a little math, internal math.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm happy to provide more information and calculate things that you guys are interested in you know, information you guys are interested in seeing. I'm happy to provide for my next report or what have you.
So my question would be the cost was $5,000, and that's for the period, for the three-month period, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so the day would be great when we could take the revenue generated. The $70,000 I would even be willing to take.
The projected revenue.
Right, and then take TBID funds that are recaptured from that is 3%, correct? Am I doing the right number? Or yes. Okay, and that would be $2,100. So the information's valuable, the hotels are gaining, but we're not necessarily generating enough to pay back your fees. Am I thinking right?
Yeah. It seems like it's a negative ROI of about 200%.
The point of doing the Adair Impact, just to kind of, because I don't think you're on the board and we actually went through and approved this in last year's budget, this is because most of what we do is not really trackable. You know, they go on morrobay.org and we cannot see where they booked. This is a new thing that Adair has started. So it's just an option that we wanted to try this year so that we can actually see physical dollars. So we kind of went into this blind not knowing what it would really look like.
Right, and I wasn't thinking straight because this isn't necessarily a marketing arm. This is just tracking our marketing that we're doing. So this is a
just
tool.
This is just tracking people going to the website because I have a whole other section on that.
Correct. I understand now. So my previous point, really unimportant.
Okay. But if you do have some kind, you know, a calculation as a hotelier that you guys are, you know, in it, you understand deeper than I do and want to share, I'm happy to calculate stuff for you.
But just follow up on that then. I'm not sure the logic of this is it suggesting that the act of tracking generated revenue? I'm not sure. Is that the value, somehow the value?
What I'm saying is that we can now show that people going to the website are actually booking. We can show the value of, our website. We can show the value of a return of having our website and, you know, people finding it organically, whether it's, you know, through Google, whether it's, you know, however they find it. We can show that, hey, people are going to the site. They're actually converting. They're actually searching for hotels to book. They're searching for flights. And then they are booking. And so as a result, this is a hard number from the Adara People's Partners. We know for a fact that $14,000 was booked in revenue. To get this number, we spent $5,000. So that was a $5,000 investment from your guys' budget. That was the return, the actual factual return that we can now show you. And so that's how I calculated out that investment to actually show tracking returned.
Okay. And then the $14,000 was a direct result of someone going to the website, and we're assuming that the act of going to the website was the sole reason they booked the thing.
We can say for a fact somebody from our website then went and booked a room in Morro Bay, and that was the total. Okay.
So back to my original point that that slide's really some faulty math. It's an interesting thought, but they're not math-related items. I'd almost rather that not be there. Just a separate thing. We can always factor what we're spending on Adara. But Adara is, and these numbers are just showing us what's happening. They're not generating anything for us, so they really shouldn't be compared on a slide.
Fair enough. Okay. So media impact. So this is the other arm that I was talking about. So this is the impact tracking that is based on digital ads, Facebook ads, e-blasts that we do, for example, through LA Times and LA Magazine. And so kind of want to show you some stats here on this. Go ahead, Megan. Thank you. This is just the dashboard, kind of showing just the various data points. The purple bar and the pink and purple bar show the look-to-book ratio and the book-to-arrival ratio. So that is for the media tracking is from look to book, it's about 9.2 days, and then booking to arrival is 32, so it's about 41 days. Go ahead.
This information isn't in our packets, is it? No.
No, it isn't. We can, yeah, this is available to be sent. No. That wasn't for you to read. I actually had those numbers in here, but I took them out because I was just trying to make it faster. And so I just wanted to kind of dive into that a little bit for you since you had asked about it. Searches from Morro Bay Hotel searches, flights, bookings for room nights, projected bookings, flights, and then projected flights. Again, this is all based from our media tracking. And findings, average length of stay is 1.6 days. So it's ticked up a little bit based on our media and the people who were targeting the media staying a little bit longer, but that's really nice to note. Our average daily rate is also up higher. And Adara breaks out the solo traveler, couples, and group and family media rates. And it's interesting to see the different averages with a group and family obviously tracking higher on the average daily rate.
A quick question, Marianne, just so I understand. So
sure.
Adara tracks, so someone clicks through on Facebook or on one of your digital paid media or whatever.
Yeah.
And comes to morrobay.org, and then they're able to follow that all the way through to
they're
20% of them. Yeah, right.
So they're not necessarily all going to our website.
It's
people who have seen our ads.
Oh, okay.
And then, you know, they get a cookie, and then they're tracked, and then they end up searching Morro Bay.
They may go directly, or do an organic search. Yeah, yeah.
Right, so it's tracking our ads. Some of them go to our site, but not all of them. And so these are people, if you want to go back one, these are people who have seen our ads that then search and then book.
Got it. Thank you.
To me, that's what's really important is that we're showing our ads are being effective. So 31,000 people, you know, looking at our ads or clicking at our ads is really good.
So average length of stay, like I said, 1.6 has ticked up a little bit. Those are the average daily rates, kind of broken out by category based on their findings. Hotel revenue generated from our ads from July through September is $43,000, and projected revenue would be times five, so $217,000 projected in revenue from our ads. Visitor profile, similar, but a little. There's some points that are interesting. The 45 to 55 is up 10%. The older ranges are up a little bit, ticking up, as well as our the upper high income, household income levels are ticked up as well as a result of people booking and searching from our ads. So so that's good. That's showing, you know, we're making positive impact and one of our goals and why we're approaching the target audiences that we are. So again, these are great benchmarks to have, and we can really, you know, track those numbers as we go. So markets, hotels, pretty similar across the board here. Hotel origin, LA, alternate searched and booked, slow Monterey. Market flights, these are based on our ads, which are running in California, so this makes sense that flight origin is 23%, but the alternate search, alternate booked is San Francisco and LA. So this is real ROI. So media spend was $43,000, revenue generated $43,000. Am I hitting the mark on that one? So
explain where the 43,494,
That's the revenue generated, not the projected revenue. That's the actual number of generated revenue from people who saw our ads and then booked hotels in Morbay.
Perfect.
So that's all I have for you guys. Happy to get that to you. I can put back in the look-to-book ratios and so forth for you. If there's another way you'd like me to calculate the DAR investment in the site, we'll just get rid of that slide.
Fantastic information.
Thank you.
Wonderful tool.
I think the only thing that would be really beneficial would be if we could review this prior to our meetings.
Sure.
I'd love for you to come and do a presentation, but it's really hard for me to see it on the screen, and you know my eyes aren't the greatest, and I know these folks here would probably really benefit from getting it in advance.
Not a problem.
I think we'd be better to ask more questions and better to serve our constituents by
getting
a little research done prior to you giving
the
presentation.
Sure, and then I wouldn't mind getting questions from you prior as well, because then I can go deeper and I'll have better information for what you guys want, that's what I want to provide for you guys. So.
Well, this is perfect because it gives us an idea what all Adara is tracking.
Right.
So that we probably have a lot more questions next quarter.
We can fine tune it. Exactly. So I wanted to kind of go broader, and we'll get it to you guys sooner next time so you can shoot us some questions and we can fine tune it for you. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you so much, Marianne. Any future agenda items? Any declaration of any? I do have a public comment. I see a hand coming out. Joan, we don't have public comment, but what do you got to say? We'll let you say something.
You don't have public comment on the marketing?
Not at the end.
On the marketing stuff, you don't?
If it's an agenda item, I
do. Yeah.
Well, he didn't ask for public comment, but I thought he was going.
Then that's why I'm asking you.
Sorry. Hi, I have some public comment on the marketing side of things. I drive back and forth to San Luis Obispo for several reasons, occasionally, as you might do. And on those occasions, I drive by the billboard on Highway 1. And it drives me crazy. So I thought to myself, wow, the billboard hasn't been changed. And I remember a couple months ago sitting at a TBID meeting for about an hour, looking at slides about the billboard, listening to the deliberations from the dais, and then chiming in at public comment, and then listening as Taylor made a motion, as the motion was seconded, and a new billboard was approved. I've lived in town 20 years. I've passed that billboard a lot. I've been involved with the Chamber of Commerce, the Tourism Bureau, 3 or 4 different marketing firms, and probably 4 or 5 different systems of getting the billboard done. Can you please get the billboard done? Thank you.
I can speak to that if that's appropriate. Yeah. So at that time was when the new logo just had become approved or was about to be approved. So it was put on hold because we were waiting for the new logo. We didn't want to have the old logo on the billboard that's probably going to be up for a good deal of time. Also during that time, then the new brand came out, and so it's been redesigned. And that actual photo, the photo from that, was we didn't have the rights to. Right, so there was an issue with the rights to the photo that was approved. And so that's how it got held up, but it is actually in development right now. It's being printed right now and should be up in the next week or two. So.
Thank you. All good things in time. Any declaration of any future items? Anybody have any comments? Seeing none, I'd like to thank you all and call this meeting adjourned at 11:16. Have a great day.